The 2026 governor's race is a year away, and Wisconsin's next Supreme Court race is even closer. But a new poll finds most voters in the state have not made up their minds. It's Thursday, October 30th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, we talk to people who rely on federal food assistance about what they'll do when the benefits go away. And industrial and municipal sludge is spread on fields around the state. A WPR investigation finds most of it is never tested for PFAS. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
A new poll of Wisconsin voters shows most have not decided who they'll support in next year's elections for governor and state Supreme Court. Rich Kramer reports.
The Marquette University Law School surveyed around 850 registered voters in October. In the governor's race, 81% of Democratic respondents said they didn't know which candidate they'll choose in next year's primary. 71% of Republicans said the same. In the Supreme Court race, more than 80% of all respondents said they didn't know enough about the candidates. Marquette pollster Charles Franklin said it's not surprising that voters haven't tuned in to either race yet.
And the candidates, because of their non-incumbent status, all have a very long ways to go to develop name identification.
Wisconsin's Supreme Court race is in April, and Franklin says by next summer, voters will likely be keenly aware of the race for governor. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Trump administration must release $8 million in grants to Wisconsin meant to address the shortage of mental health workers in schools. That's according to a federal judge who ruled this week. The grants are part of a $1 billion nationwide program that Trump canceled in the spring, saying they violated civil rights laws. In Wisconsin, that meant pausing a program that was training school-based mental health workers. The State Department of Public Instruction had received an initial $2 million out of a five-year $10 million grant. The state was one of 22 recipients of the funding. State Superintendent Jill Underley called the ruling a victory at a time when kids are facing unprecedented mental health challenges. The department is awaiting guidance on how the funding will be restored. Wisconsinites who rely on federal food assistance are wondering how they'll access food next month. As Steph Conquest Ware reports, more than 700,000 people will lose benefits as the government shutdown continues.
Latricia Williams relies on food benefits each month to buy formula for her four-month-old baby. He drinks five bottles a day, and cans of his formula can cost Williams $75.
All my benefits go to his milk. I stock up on that, and because I can't next month, which he is down to at least probably 10 cans, and he drinks really fast, so I'm going to have to be going to pantries as well.
Federal funding for food aid runs out this week. More than one in every four Milwaukee County residents relies on SNAP benefits. Food pantries and community groups across the state say they're already seeing increased need. Steph Conquest Ware, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And with funding for the federal food assistance program known as SNAP or Food Share set to run out this weekend, some states are putting emergency funds towards filling the gap. But that's not happening in Wisconsin. At a recent event, Governor Tony Evers said he lacks the authority to disperse state funds.
As far as my ability to do something unilaterally, it would have to have the legislators' approval. And it's not that they wouldn't do it. We're not flush with money here.
The legislature's top Republican leaders did not respond to WPR's questions about whether they would support using state funds to cover food share payments. Senate President Mary Felskowski recently said the state would not, calling it a federal issue. Evers has called on the U.S. Department of Agriculture to tap into emergency federal funds to keep paying food assistance. And Wisconsin joined a lawsuit this week that would require it. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is proposing to reduce the commercial harvest of whitefish by almost 350,000 pounds in Lake Michigan. The move comes as the population has seen a dramatic decline. About 20 years ago, Lake Michigan boasted more than 60 million whitefish that were 3 years and older. But the population has since dropped 75% or more, and the commercial whitefish harvest in the lake has hit record lows. Commercial fisherman Todd Stuth says he accepts the need for the lower quota, but he doesn't want to see any further reductions.
If they eliminate or reduce the quota any further, you're basically going to restrict the ability of a fisherman to go out there.
Regulators and fishers say they want to keep the population sustainable. Invasive mussels have driven population declines by filtering out food that young whitefish eat. Coming up, sludge from a paper mill made its way into the water supply in northern Wisconsin, and that same practice is happening all over the state. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
And finally, in parts of Oneida County, well water is contaminated with PFAS at some of the nation's highest concentrations. State environmental regulators say that's due to the paper mill spreading sludge that contain the toxic forever chemicals on nearby farmland. That waste from industrial facilities, cities, and homes is spread on 500,000 acres of farmland across Wisconsin each year. But as Danielle Kading reports, only a fraction of it has been tested for PFAS.
On a Saturday in June, Nancy Sattler bats away flies while standing in the shade of the Moen Lake boat landing near the town of Stella. Water sloshes against the shoreline as boats crisscross in the middle of the lake. The lake has been popular among anglers for large muskie, walleye, and other fish. Sattler is former president of the Moen Lake Chain Association. She says she and her neighbors were worried when they first learned of high PFAS levels in the lakes.
There were neighbors of mine that were very reluctant to even go in the water or allow their grandchildren in the water.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has named current and former owners of the mill responsible for PFAS contamination. That's because for decades, the mill spread its byproducts on nearby farmland. It's believed the PFAS in that industrial sludge made its way into the well water of some residents. Paper companies deny any wrongdoing. WPR found that the practice of spreading industrial or treated sewage sludge known as biosolids is widespread. It's happening on hundreds of thousands of acres of land and in every part of the state. And most of what is spread on the state's fields has never been tested or monitored for PFAS. Even so, Steve Warner of the DNR says sludge has long been seen by farmers as an inexpensive, nutrient-rich alternative to fertilizer.
It's a win-win for the farmer in that they can get a relatively low-cost source of fertilizer, but also it's often an economic reuse option for the facility.
But studies show sludge at treatment plants that's formed by waste from homes and industrial facilities often contain the widely used chemicals. The state has interim guidelines for the chemicals and biosolids, but no state or federal standards currently exist for PFAS and sludge. Last year, the DNR began requiring plants to test their biosolids for PFAS as they renew their permits. Data obtained by WPR shows around 130 municipal plants have conducted sampling so far. That's out of roughly 1,400 permitted or licensed facilities and businesses in Wisconsin. Of those, around half may spread waste in any given year. As spreading continues, the Environmental Protection Agency warned this year that there may be human health risks tied to applying PFAS-contaminated sludge on fields, even at low levels. Sarah Walling with environmental group Clean Wisconsin says there needs to be more research and testing.
Not only is there the opportunity for those biosolids and the PFAS within them to leach downward into groundwater sources, which is what we're seeing in Stella, but there's also the opportunity then for that plant uptake and therefore food chain impacts.
In a recent hearing, Jason Muniaini with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation told lawmakers that they don't want to see farmers blamed.
Unfortunately, the discovery of PFAS compounds in some biosolids has created fear and uncertainty for farmers who did nothing wrong.
Republican State Senator Eric Wimberger and other lawmakers have introduced bills that would create grant programs to address PFAS. They would also exempt farmers from footing the bill to clean up the chemicals.
The first step is to make sure that there's help available for the practical aspect of getting clean water. And the second is to make sure that regular people who are really victims of pollution have that legal cover.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers proposed a similar exemption for farmers and residents, but his proposal didn't make it into the final budget. The governor and Republicans have clashed over addressing PFAS. Evers vetoed a similar GOP bill last year over its limits to the DNR's authority and fears it could let polluters off the hook. The governor and Republicans set aside $125 million to address PFAS in the last budget, but the legislature has yet to release that money. Mowen Lake resident Mark Merrick says the paper mill in his area may not have known about the potential harm from spreading its sludge, but he says Wisconsin needs to get a handle on the scope of contamination.
We know it's here. I just don't know where else it is.
Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Our thanks to WPR's Danielle Kading for bringing us that story. We'll end with a quick check of your forecast. Some areas of fog this morning, including northwestern Wisconsin, a dense fog advisory in that part of the state this morning. Highs eventually getting into the 50s today with plenty of sunshine. Overnight, mostly cloudy with a slight chance for a little bit of rain in the north and lows in the 30s. And that'll do it for this Thursday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. It's so great to be back with you. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producer today was Courtney Everett. Of course, thanks to Courtney for filling in as host while I was gone, and thanks to everyone else who helped fill in the producing role as well. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.